A teenage climate activist is coming to the U.S., and tensions are expected to rise this week between India and Pakistan. Those are among the top international stories in the coming days. And with me for our weekly look at some of them is the BBC's Rich Preston. And Rich, let's start in Brazil, where tomorrow there will be an event demanding more rights for rural workers. What's happening there?
That's right, Mark. In particular, women. Now, this is the biggest women's march in Latin America. It's been held every year for the past 19 years. Women account for about half the workforce in Brazil's agriculture sector, and women from all states will be travelling to Brasilia demanding more rights and better conditions for rural female workers.
What kinds of issues do rural female workers in Brazil face?
Well, many of those you'd expect, really. Health is a big one. Rural communities have much less access to clean drinking water, for example, compared to their urban counterparts. Ditto proper sanitation and sewerage systems. Poverty is another one that's particularly acute if a woman's work is based on the land, and that land has changed. So deforestation and urbanisation, key issues at play here, and that's been exacerbated recently by reports that deforestation in Brazil has increased since Jair Bolsonaro took the presidency. Tied in with that, actually, is the perceived threat faced by rural and indigenous people. So, for example, last month, heavily armed gold miners invaded an indigenous reserve and stabbed one of its leaders to death. Women are also much more likely to be affected by issues caused by climate change, especially because of some of the traditional roles they're more likely to fulfil. And there are barriers to land ownership, barriers to loans, financial support, infrastructure, etc., etc. Now, some things are changing. The number of rural female landowners is rising, for example, as is the education level among rural women. But these women marching tomorrow say it's not quite reached parity, and they're demanding lawmakers do more to protect, support, and promote women working in Brazil's rural areas.
All right, so as you say, Rich, that march happening tomorrow. Also tomorrow, the Swedish climate activist and teenager Greta Thunberg is heading to the U.S. So I have to ask, being a climate activist, how is she getting here?
Well, she will be travelling on a zero-emissions racing sailboat. The trip is going to take 2 weeks, Mark, so admittedly, in many ways, hardly an advertisement for speedy zero-emissions travel. Now, she, as you may remember, came to fame after staging weekly protests against climate change in Stockholm, those classroom walkouts which spread around the world. And she's made a habit of taking trains as she travels around Europe, putting pressure on people to avoid taking planes whenever possible. So it's good that she's sticking to her guns on that one when she's heading to the US. She's become a powerful voice, really, in tackling climate change around the world, meeting political leaders, trying to persuade them to do more for the environment.
So what will she be doing while she's here in the US?
Well, she's been invited to speak at the United Nations Climate Change Summit in New York, but then she's staying on the continent for a few months. She's travelling to Chile for another conference there as well. And as much as I'm sure she'd like an opportunity to sit down with him, I think it's unlikely Miss Thunberg will meet President Trump. She didn't rule it out, but she did say she thought it would be a waste of time. He doesn't listen to the scientists. Why would he listen to me? She said.
Interesting. All right, so finally, Rich, a tense week expected in South Asia with anniversaries for both India and Pakistan. What's happening there?
Yeah, now your listeners are probably aware of the ongoing issues in the region. That's after India's central government revoked the special status afforded to Indian-administered Kashmir. Now, since that happened, the territory's been on lockdown, internet and phone services down, and reports of mass detentions. Now, I think we can expect things to flare up slightly this week, and that's because both countries are celebrating their independence day, so Kashmir will be a sore point as they do so. Looking back slightly, India was partitioned in 1947 at the end of British colonial rule, and that created an independent India and the new nation of Pakistan. At the time, Indian states were given the choice of entering the new Muslim country of Pakistan or staying part of India. The Prince of Kashmir hesitated because he wanted to remain in India, even though a majority of the population is Muslim. And that prompted a war, resulting in the splitting of Kashmir between Pakistan and India. And there's been several wars over the decades about that. These two nuclear rivals both claim the territory as theirs, and Pakistan sees this latest move by India as a land grab.
So any sense of how this all might play out in the week ahead?
Well, celebrations, of course, around their respective independence days, but Kashmir is going to be the topic everyone's talking about. Pakistan says it will declare Thursday a black day and is going to fly its flags at half-mast in solidarity with Kashmiris, it says, are seeking self-determination in the face of India's brutal racist regime. India says the matter is an internal affair and has nothing to do with Pakistan. India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi says his new policy will integrate Kashmir closer into India and be better for the Kashmiri people. Definitely, we can expect tensions to increase politically. Unfortunately, the real effect for those is going to be felt by those living in the region on the ground, Mark.
All right, that is the BBC's Rich Preston. Rich, as always, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.